You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. 100 ESPN KGYM.
Welcome in, midweek Wednesday edition of the Gym Class, coming your way from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids on a cloudy day here in eastern Iowa. Scott Udash with you, Mark Dukes across the table, Isaac on the other side of the glass, and ready to go for a Wednesday edition of the program. John Venenzia will join us from rotowire.com. Did I do okay there?
Perfect.
Nice, thank you. You do it for four times and you start to get better at it. Happy Wednesday. John will talk to us coming up about fantasy baseball. If you have an early fantasy football question, get that ready to go for us, and we will talk with him. Maybe a little college baseball as well. He's big into college baseball. We know the field now for the NCAA regionals, so perhaps we will discuss with John coming up in just a little bit. We'll talk some college football with you as well. We'll get you an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update and more coming up on the show here today. 319-366-1600. That is the text line, 319-366-1600. That's the phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, also 319-366-1600. On 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker as we take you through a Wednesday afternoon here in eastern Iowa. You got computer problems still, Isaac? You look puzzled over there a little bit.
No, I just learned something new.
Oh.
So I'm just messing around with stuff now. But the computer is working fine today. I don't know what was up yesterday. It was just slow and stopping on everything.
It's what computers do at times.
Yeah, but it's frustrating when I'm trying to do stuff. If it can do that when I'm not here. When Jaden's here, it can be slow all at once. But when I'm here,
I see.
It can't be.
I see. You just throw it toward the morning, huh?
Better them than me. Or listen, when I'm in the morning, then I don't want it to be slow.
Okay. Fridays, it can't be slow. Good.
When I'm not here, it can be temperamental all at once.
We've got for you, as we mentioned, we're going to talk some fantasy baseball, fantasy sports with you coming up in just a little bit. If you miss any of our local shows, that would be, of course, in the mornings, the Todd Brommelkamp Show, Spencer on Sports, which follows us from 4 until 6. And then our program, you can go back and listen to any of the podcasts. They're available on our website at kgymradio.com or Apple or Spotify. And a few things to go over here today. We'll get to those on the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard coming up here in just a little bit. But wanted to start things off with a little college football talk, and we talked about the SEC yesterday and how Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, coming out first of all in the morning saying, "Oh, that's it, 27-28, we're done with this thing, we're going on our own, baby. The SEC is big enough where we can just rule ourselves in big time college athletics." We'll see if that happens. I don't think it's ever going to. Maybe it's just setting the stage for the CSC or the SCSC, Mark, or CSCS.
College Sports Commission.
College Sports Commission, CSC. Thank you. Maybe it's just setting the scene for that. But more news coming out of the spring meetings of the SEC today, and this has to do with a topic that has been bantered about for a long time. A couple of things here. One new and one old. The old part of the equation is talking about how many games the SEC should play as far as their conference schedule is concerned. As we know, most of the power conferences play a 9-game conference schedule. The SEC plays an 8-game conference schedule. That brings a lot of hand-wringing throughout college football because that last non-conference game is usually, as Dick Vitale would say, a cream puff cupcake before your big game of the year to basically have a bye to get ready for your biggest game of the year, whether it be your biggest rival, whether it be a game you think is going to be for the SEC Divisional Championship or the SEC Championship, whatever. That has been a source of contention for a while, Mark. So that was one of the things that the SEC coaches were discussing over the last couple of days. The other one is kind of intriguing and has to do with us here in Big Ten country. That would be and Brian Kelly, the coach at LSU, I think was the first one to come up with this. What he would like would be an annual Big Ten SEC challenge in football. Think about that for a little bit. Big Ten SEC challenge, if you will, in football. So that's everybody would play in the Big Ten. You'd play your 9 conference games. You would play your one big SEC opponent or SEC opponent for the most part, because there are 18 Big Ten teams and 16 SEC teams, so that's not going to work perfectly. But every once in a while, you get a year off for that. But that brings up a lot of questions and a lot of talking points, not only in the SEC, Mark, but I think in the Big Ten, in Big Ten country as well.
Yeah, I think on the surface it sounds fun for the fans, intriguing for television, and what the conferences can make off such matchups, but it has some practical aspects that would definitely need to be worked out. And it's not going to happen next year or the year after, I don't believe. Brian Kelly said that's the wish in the room, talking about the SEC coaches. This stuff is depends on the athletic directors, whether they can get together and want to do such a thing. Now, as far as the scheduling, you know, SEC teams play half the league teams. 16-team league, they play 8. Big Ten plays half, play 9 of the 18. For the SEC to go to a 9-game conference schedule and add a Big Ten team, and also consider rivalries like Florida, Florida State, Georgia, Georgia Tech,
Clemson, South Carolina,
Kentucky, Louisville. That's another game, leaving only 2 cruddy FCS teams to play at home.
Don't get down on Furman.
But each league is different. And like I said, I think it has some logistical things to work out.
Yeah, it does. What are your thoughts? 319-366-1600 as we talk about this, how it could impact both leagues. Now, Brian Kelly said in this article that I am reading and quoting here from CBS Sports, said that the SEC football coaches want 9 conference games plus an annual Big Ten game. Now, that is not across the board, though. They attribute Sam Pittman, the Arkansas coach, he wants 8 conference games, maintain the status quo, but he is all for playing a Big Ten opponent. Keep that cream puff. Keep that cream puff out there, Mark. I get it on why the SEC plays, as you pointed out, they play half of their conference opponents. I still don't know if it's fair because the other conferences are playing 9. I guess some years it could be a hindrance and some years it can be a help for those SEC teams. The question in Big Ten country is this, and Iowa is a great example, and Iowa may be the top example of this. And that is, okay, all sounds well and good. 9 conference games in the Big Ten. You play half of the conference teams as your opponents. You play 3 non-conference games. One of those is the SEC. Uh-oh. What happens to the Cy-Hawk rivalry? Would you sacrifice Iowa-Iowa State if you're an Iowan? Both sides of the equation, both sides of the aisle, Iowa or Iowa State, could that be sacrificed in order for Iowa to play an SEC team most every year?
I'm I'd be interested to see what Iowa and Iowa State fans would have to say about that. You're right. 9+1 against Iowa State, +1 against an SEC, and then one friendly, Isaac. That only leaves one friendly.
That is a good way to describe it, yes.
Yeah, I mean, you go back, if you're Iowa, to the old Hayden Fry scheduling system, and that was you play somebody in a friendly, a cream puff that you're going to destroy. You play somebody that you may have to sweat a little bit against in Iowa State. That was what Hayden Fry did.
Sweat a lot.
Well, he sweated sometimes more than others. And Kirk Ferentz has basically done that same philosophy. He's followed that same philosophy. What do you think? What do you think about that? Both Iowa and Iowa State fans would... Because as Cyclone Tim points out, he says if Iowa has to play an SEC opponent, you might as well kiss the Iowa-Iowa State game goodbye. Because Iowa is not playing Mississippi State and Iowa State in back-to-back plus 9 conference games.
Don't think so.
That's just not going to happen. So is it worth that sacrifice for Iowa and Iowa State to play in the Big Ten SEC Challenge? Now, more than likely, it's not going to be anything that Beth Getz, Kirk Ferentz, or Kirk Ferentz's successor, or anyone has any say in. It's going to be the SEC commissioner, the Big Ten commissioner, and more importantly, it's going to be the television contracts that are going to say exactly how this is going to play out.
Well, it's a recency from which Brian Kelly is speaking. He pointed out that the Big Ten has won the last two national championships. And for the SEC to get back in the mix there and start winning more national championships, maybe it has to schedule some Big Ten games. And the matchups would mean everything, I think. You know, Iowa is not going to play Alabama at Kinnick Stadium.
Unless Iowa gets a whole lot better every year.
That's not going to happen. It's more likely an Oregon or Ohio State or a USC that's going to play Alabama and Tennessee and whatnot. You know, I could see an Ole Miss, an Arkansas, somebody like that for an Iowa opponent. Getting the cart ahead of the horse here, but just has a whole lot of logistical problems. From a fan standpoint, I'm all in. Oh, that'd be great matchups.
If Isaac, what do you think? What are your first thoughts about this?
From an Iowa perspective, I would prefer to just keep the Cy-Hawk series. If it was between the two, whether there's an SEC series or you keep that rivalry, I would rather keep that. If it were to be replaced, I would prefer it to be a consistent SEC opponent, if that makes sense. So like an SEC Big Ten rivalry almost, instead of just a rotating, this year you play Arkansas, this year you play Ole Miss, this year you play Missouri or whatever. I'd rather them play one specific team, so then some sort of rivalry does form. Just because if you're replacing the Iowa State game, I would prefer to be replaced with something that has potential to be a rivalry in the future, just because that game is, Cy-Hawk game is fun.
What other Big Ten teams? I lose track. Some of the rivalries that have been preserved and some have gone away. Oregon State still play?
Oregon State are still playing at the moment, but that is kind of a year-by-year deal. Now, the Oregon State's going to the new Pac-12 or Pac-10 or Pac-8, whatever they want to pack it and call it. But
Mountain Pack.
The Mountain Pack. Who knows if that's going to continue? But yeah, good example, the Civil War between Oregon and Oregon State. That's big. You've got, I mean, Penn State, Pitt, but they don't play every year.
Nebraska, Colorado
don't play every year. Michigan, Notre Dame. Yeah, they don't play each and every year.
USC, Notre Dame,
but that's already on the chopping block. There's only, I think, just not very, a handful maybe, of USC Notre Dame games that are on the schedule right now. There are other Big Ten schools like that, but do they sacrifice those games as well? 319-366-1600, 7470 says would be great, and all but this would for sure seal the deal. Both leagues would get the four auto bids they want, and then they'd get the at-large too. Well, they got that probably in the back of their minds. I guarantee you Greg Sankey's got that in the back of his mind. Very, very much so. And 0818, I think, brings up a very good point, and that is, heck, just expand the number of regular season games. Everyone's getting paid anyway. There's going to be a 13th game sooner than later.
Do you think?
I think there is.
I mean,
I tell you,
the finalists already played 16 games last year. Well, Ohio State played 16 games last year, I think.
And I think what's going to happen when the 13th comes, I think you're going to see the extinction of the conference championship games. That's what I'm thinking in the back of my mind. Because you're going to get that revenue back from the 13th game. And those conference championship games, they mean something, yes, for the auto bid, I guess. But more than likely, you're going to get both teams in anyway.
Well, plus, to dovetail that, the FCS schools are advocating for a 12th game in the next couple seasons.
Correct.
So,
yeah. And probably,
hence your opponent.
A lot of cream puffs.
You don't want to see that Indiana State rivalry go away, do you?
No, you do not. No, you do not. I don't know. It's going to be interesting if they go to 13.
They'd have to, if they were to get rid of conference championship games, that 13th game would have to be part of a deal where there is a Big Ten SEC agreement, because they're not gonna get rid of the conference championship game for you to play for you and I or something like
correct.
That.
Correct.
Like it has to be worth the TV's while, and I think that would be.
Is that what saves
like
Iowa State?
Probably. That would probably be what if you were to do the Big Ten SEC, whatever they want to call it, tournament, whatever you want to challenge. You probably have to just add a week if you don't want to get rid of the Cy-Hawk.
I don't know the College Players Association, which will come.
Yeah, eventually.
They'll have something to say about that because the players wouldn't make as much per game.
True. So many things to think about in 2025 that you did not have to think about in 1995. 319-366-1600 as we talk about college football scheduling in the Big Ten SEC challenge, the possibility of that. 2757 says the Big Ten shouldn't lower itself to play the SEC. Shots fired. But the Big Ten has won the last two national championships. Keep that in mind with Ohio State and the Michigan Wolverines. 2211 says Iowa's bowl games the past few years have been an SEC team anyway, more entertaining than Albany and the Sisters of Mercy Junior College Directional Schools of Michigan. Those would be the cupcakes that he's describing. The friendlies, as Isaac would like to say.
Albany is very friendly.
That's not going to be fun. That is not fun. Cyclone Tim, thanks for weighing in again. He is okay with ending Iowa State at this point. Each fan base clowns the other one anyway. I just hope Iowa State can find an equivalent game to replace Iowa, though. Very true. Now, if there is no more Iowa State in 5 or 6 years, what does Iowa State do? They go find another rival. They play. They get the telephone trophy rivalry going with Mizzou again, but then Mizzou's not going to play him because Mizzou's playing a Big Ten team.
That's right.
So, no, this impacts Iowa State.
Big 12 ACC challenge.
Fierce rivals with Stanford. I can see it now.
Oh, loathes, not close. Sorry, Tim. Each fan base loathes the other one anyway. Well, at least 1 week of the year. They do. I think everybody, for the most part, gets along other than that. But, yeah, does the Big 12 go out and get the ACC? That's the question. Is the ACC going to keep Stanford and Cal, though? That's another question, because I think about 3 more years of cross-country travel, and those schools already are complaining about travel budgets and jet lag, et cetera, et cetera.
Maybe Brian Kelly's just throwing things at the wall to see what sticks. But he insisted it's the quote-unquote wish of the room, meaning the coaches in the SEC. Anybody ask the Big Ten coaches?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. It'd be interesting to see. Maybe that is a question that comes up in the fabulous Las Vegas this year.
I don't think it. You know, Wisconsin is going to play Notre Dame this year. They're not going to want to add a game. And that game was originally scheduled in 2020, and now it's going to be played this year. The Shamrock Series or something
right.
like that? Games like that, may not happen.
I think that was the Kickstarter of the Ireland
Could
games.
Be. Yeah.
And COVID was around then, obviously, and they didn't play that. Of course, Iowa State starting the season in Dublin this year, in case you have forgotten. Iowa State, Kansas State. It's the Irish version of Farmageddon to open the season this year. Tim also weighing in. It's forcing the Big 12 and the ACC out of the big boy mix doing this. Maybe. Hey, the SEC, and to a certain extent the Big Ten, but I think more of the SEC, they want their own sandbox to play in. I mean, Greg Sankey basically said that yesterday when he said that we're leaving the NCAA in a few years. Yeah, we don't need this ragtag organization. We can do this ourselves.
How many people can fit in a sandbox?
Four. Well, two, according to Greg Sankey, and Big Ten, you just keep your distance. I'm digging over here. Oh, boy. It's something to think about, though. I mean, we've had this discussion before about Iowa and Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is this going to be the reason why this rivalry goes away? I hope it doesn't. It's great for the state. I've said it before. I don't want to see it go away. Yeah, sometimes it turns a little ugly. We don't need that each and every year. But the economic impact and everything it impacts for Iowa State, whether it's in Ames or in Iowa City,
yeah,
that right there should tell you that this thing needs to be played every year, annually.
Even though it's 50 years since the renewal or thereabouts, I don't think it's outlived itself. In fact, I think in the last few years, it's been a terrific rivalry. Both schools, both programs, been very, very relevant. Iowa State was tremendous last year, winning 11 games. And as long as those two things continue on the same, trajectory or teams winning 8, 9, 10, 11 games a year, both schools, that's a good thing.
Very much so. Very much so. All right, there you go. Big Ten should float a series with the Big 12. How many teams in the Big 12 now? Not 12. Not 12. 14? Is that right, Isaac? 14?
I can't remember what
I think it's 14. So the four Big Ten teams would not be playing. Right now, it'd be two Big Ten teams not playing.
That's a statement right there. We can't remember how many teams are in leagues.
There's 16.
16, I'm sorry. 16. Well, there would only be two Big 12 teams that wouldn't be playing. Or no, I'm sorry, Big 10 teams that wouldn't be playing. So maybe they play next. I don't know. Find a cream puff and play one. 319-366-1600. We are going to talk some fantasy baseball, fantasy football. We'll talk some college baseball, and we will do that coming up here after Mark gets to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are right across the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot, open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. Classic local American restaurant, and stop on by, tell them hi. What we got?
A lot of afternoon baseball. Right now, the White Sox trying to put the finishing touches on the Mets, leading 9-4 with two outs in the ninth inning. Also, the Astros ahead of the Athletics 5-3 in the seventh. Pirates with an early 1-0 lead on the Diamondbacks. Finals, Tampa Bay shut out Minnesota 5-0. Cleveland defeated the Dodgers 7-4. Detroit trimmed San Francisco 4-3, and the Milwaukee Brewers down Boston 6-5. At the Class 2A State Boys Tennis Tournament, ongoing right now, Prairie's Dylan Schulte became the first freshman since 2014 to reach the singles final. He is opposing his brother, Prairie senior Anthony Schulte, the number one seed, who had to survive a three-set tiebreaker in the semifinals. Iowa City West is playing for the doubles title against Pleasant Valley. In Class 1A, Xavier won the state championship, defeating Dubuque Waller. Iowa men's basketball will return to Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines in Coach Ben McCollum's first season. The Hawkeyes will play Bucknell, co-champion of the Patriot League last season, on December 20th. Former Iowa star and NFL veteran Tim DeWight will coach high school football next season. DeWight has been named an assistant at Iowa City High to coach running backs and special teams. And just for you, Scott, Tiger Woods' son, Charlie, earned his first American Junior Golf Association title today in Florida. Charlie carded 8 birdies in the third and final round to shoot 66 and win by 3 shots.
Way to go, Charlie. Way to go. I shouldn't mention this as well. Congratulations to the Kirkwood Eagle men's golf team. They finished second in the country. And as one of our texters says on the text line, they were led by Reed Hall, who finished as a runner-up this year for National Junior College Division II. They played over at the Swan Lake Golf Resort in Plymouth, Indiana. And Reed finished second. So congratulations to him, former Kennedy golfer, and congratulations to the Eagles. Also, it is the not only National Hamburger Day today, but it's National I'm Staying in School and Counting My NIL Money Instead of Going to the NBA Day. The latest to come back, and I'm glad to see this, sophomore to be Tahad Pettiford from Auburn is going to come back. That makes Auburn, that jumps them into the top 5. I think, going into next year. He is outstanding. Really, really good. And that's going to make Auburn really, really good. 319-366-1600. And we'll take a break, come back. We'll talk some fantasy sports with you when we return.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And there's going to be mostly cloudy skies today with a few spotty showers possible here and there. Any rain would be light and brief. Temperatures will be around 70 degrees. And then tonight we'll have clouds breaking up and temperatures dropping to a low around 50. Tomorrow we're going to have partly cloudy skies. Temperatures will be rising into the low to mid 70s. And a stray shower is possible in the afternoon. Otherwise, we'll have some more sunshine for Friday and the weekend and warmer temperatures. That's your latest weather first forecast.
Good Guys Auto Parts, Iowa City's only family-owned, family-run auto parts store, invites you to experience something gooder. Gooder prices, gooder brands, gooder warranty. Swing by to shop in person or give us a call for fast, free delivery straight to your door, garage, man cave, or she shed. Good Guys has been voted ugliest parts store 15 years straight. But hey, like your mom said, it's what's on the inside that counts. Good Guys Auto Parts, gooder than good, the goodest.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quickstar, and life is busy and Quickstar gets it. That's why they offer some great, great things like fresh coffee, tasty bakery treats for grab and go meals. And when you need something on the go, Quickstar is your place for one stop and for variety, quality, and fast service. They've got fully guaranteed fuel if you need gas. They've got free ATMs, free air for your tires, and sparkling clean restrooms at your neighborhood Quickstar. And also right now, they've got Kitchen Cravings 5-ounce sirloin beef steaks, 2 for $4, limit 6, and Nature's Touch American Cheese Singles, 12-ounce packages for $1.99, limit 4. And if you need some milk, stop on by on your way home, Nature's Touch Milk, skim 1%, 2%, or whole milk for $1.99 a gallon, limit 3. So stop on by, use your Quick Rewards app, and stop at your neighborhood Quickstar.
At Old Town Construction, we're more than just builders. We're a family. Making friends, having fun, and giving back to our communities is our top priority. From first consultation to final nail, our team is dedicated to delivering top quality work with a personal touch. Home renovation, new build, or repair, we're here to ensure the job is done right. With Old Town Construction, you're not just getting a contractor, you're getting a partner who cares about your community. Let's build something great together. Visit OLDETownConstruction.com today.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, let's talk ED, because millions of men experience it. But not everyone can access or afford treatments like Viagra. Well, Hims can help. Through Hims.com, you can get a full range of treatment options for ED, including daily or as-needed meds, through a 100% online process. It all starts with an online intake form. Get started at Hims.com/joy. And from there, a medical provider licensed in your state will determine if ED treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is shipped to you for free. Find the ED treatment that fits your needs with options up to 95% less than the brand names. Millions of men experience ED, but Hims can help. To start your free online visit and save up to 95%, go to Hims.com/joy. That's Hims.com/joy for your free online visit. Hims.com/joy.
Welcome back. 3:36 here on the Gym Class on a Wednesday edition of the program, as we will be off on Friday. Cubs in action coming up on Friday, so we will step aside for that. Cubs and the Colorado Rockies coming up tonight for you right after Spencer on Sports, and that will be, I believe, at 6:10. 6:05, I believe, is the pregame coming up tonight. 319-366-1600. That is the text line if you have a question for our next guest. And from rotowire.com, John Valencia is joining us here. And John, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. What's going on? We got college baseball starting up. It's the best time of the year. It's glorious. It's the best postseason of any sport in the world, no question.
There you go. Hey, about that, of course, here in Big Ten country, we kind of knew that Iowa needed to win the Big Ten tournament to get into the regionals. Put that aside. I don't know if you were studying like we were the format for this year's Big Ten baseball tournament. We thought of about six or seven other ways that they could have done this other than the way they did. But turned out Nebraska loved it because the eight-seeded Cornhuskers basically won their home game and got to go to the regionals. But it was a weird, weird way the Big Ten put that postseason tournament together.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think they're the only conference, at least off the top of my head, that still does the pool play. And the ACC did the pool play forever for a conference tournament where you have three teams in a pool. So, you know, you have two teams that you're guaranteed to play against in order to advance. And, you know, the Big Ten is still keeping that. I think it's interesting. You know, honestly, Oregon-UCLA was my pick because I thought those two were going to be tough matchups for everybody. And Nebraska, man, like my guy on my podcast, Noah Beanick, shout out to Noah. I do a podcast with him every week, and he was all over Nebraska in the game against Oregon and against UCLA, where he knew they were going to travel, and they always show out in the Big Ten tournament. And it was definitely up for grabs, man, because Oregon, I didn't think they would need it, but the committee found a reason to not give them the well-deserved eight seed, which is huge in college baseball because the top eight seeds mean you not only host a regional, but you would host a super regional, which is a huge home field advantage leading up to Omaha. So Oregon not winning that and getting beat by Nebraska was huge and could have a seismic shift in what we see this weekend.
The SEC, of course, dominant, getting, I believe, 13 teams in, but no Texas A&M, which was the number one team in the country going in. What happened to that ball club?
Oh, my God. You want to tell me? I'm so disgusted by it. I had so much invested in the Aggies, and, you know, this is what happens. Of course, this year of all years when I'm really invested in Texas A&M. Honestly, it was a season from hell. That's the short of it. You lose Jim Schlossnagel. He bolts. Then all of your star players are hitting the transfer portal. They get Michael Riley to come in and step in as the head coach. And then he finds a way, to his credit, to convince all the guys to stay. Because once Jace Lavalette was hitting the portal, Gavin Grahovac, that's it. It was going to be a domino effect. But he convinced those guys to stay. They field a really good roster. They bring in a couple big transfers. Miles Patton from Long Beach State as their Sunday guy, and Wyatt Hensler from UPenn, the all-time Ivy League home run leader. But then it just went from bad to worse. Ultimately, you lose Gavin Grahovac, their third baseman, who's a legit top five candidate off the board next year. Caden Sorrell, who is one of their key pieces, missed the first half of the year. And to be fair, they didn't have that swagger. I think not having a legitimate coach to help guide them through some of the early season struggles was detrimental to them, because you had some struggles last year where you had a guy like Schlossnagel that was able to weather that storm, and Michael Early just seemed overwhelmed. It's not all his fault, but you have Jace Lavalette, who was a 1-1 pick projected coming into this year, who had such a fall off that he might not even be a top 15 pick. He batted .258. It was just honestly a mix of injuries, poor performance, poor coaching, and honestly a lack of desire to compete, it seemed like, most weekends. Because I watched Texas A&M pretty much every weekend this year, and they just had no fire in them for most of the season.
Yeah. Like you said, Big Ten, Oregon did get to host. UCLA got in, USC, Nebraska, as we talked about. But this is the SEC show. Could you envision a Final Four, if you will, of all SEC teams? Is that beyond thinking here, or is somebody going to spoil the party?
I mean, it's definitely possible. You have LSU. The right side of the bracket, if you look at it, is really tough. I mean, you got LSU, Tennessee, Arkansas, Texas. I don't have the bracket in front of me, but I want to say Texas is the top right quadrant. LSU is the bottom right, along with Tennessee and Arkansas, I believe. And the bottom left is Auburn and Florida. I like Florida out of that quadrant. And top left, Vanderbilt, Florida State, Oregon State. That one is really interesting, because you look at Vanderbilt, who drew a pretty easy regional. Oregon State got gifted that top eight seed, and they're going to host TCU, is probably the most likely threat to them in the Corvallis regional. And then Florida State, I mean, you got a frisky Northeastern team that won 48 games this year, but really hasn't faced the elite level competition. And you have Mississippi State, who I don't really buy, but they have a few pretty good players. So for me, I would probably say it's going to be LSU, Texas, Florida, and I got to say, man, I might end up throwing Vanderbilt in that Final Four, because their pitching is disgusting, and they do all the little things right, and they just seem to have that timely hitting, even though their overall numbers don't jump off the page at you.
Is there a non-number one seed to keep an eye out for?
Yeah, so Florida, in my opinion, is one of the best two seeds this weekend. But I would also say, let's keep our eyes on UC Irvine to win out of that UCLA regional. That is the most fun region. That's completely up for grabs. 1-4 can take that one. And I'm going to give you a couple long shots this weekend. Oklahoma State is the 3 seed in the Athens regional in Georgia. They're 10-1 right now to win that region. OK State went on an absolute heater the last 3 weeks of the season, and they have the best pitching rotation in that region. So I think if Oklahoma State plays up to their ability, because they're a high variance team, especially on offense, and they play towards the higher side of that variance, they can absolutely walk into Athens and steal that region. And Kansas is 7-1 as the 2 seed. Down in Fayetteville. I think the Jayhawks are live. Arkansas may be the most complete team, most complete roster in the country. That's a thought a lot of people have had. I don't think it's ridiculous to say. But in my opinion, there's just something missing from this team. And not to mention, they've gotten bounced in their own region each of the last 2 years. So I need to see it before I believe in Arkansas. And you have Kansas that won over 20 games in the Big 12. They have a pretty good 1-2 punch with Dom Bagley and Cooper Moore. You know, they have a tendency to blow up, but overall it's been pretty good. And their offense is really good. They had 100 home runs this year. They're top 10 in power. Brady Ballinger was a legit candidate for Big 12 Player of the Year. This is a dangerous Kansas team. So I think not just for the price, but for the sheer fact that they have enough juice to be the little fox in the hen house down in that region.
I like that. Let's get to Major League Baseball. If you have a question about your fantasy baseball league, get it to us at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. And maybe an early fantasy football question. I'm sure John can field that as well. My first question is this, and this is more of a, hey, another guy is up, and what's this going to do to them, especially now that they are in a losing streak. But the Boston Red Sox, Marcelo Meyer is in. Is he your new shortstop in or taking over, and does that mean the end for Rafael Devers?
I don't think it's the end for Rafael Devers. I mean, I know it's been a tumultuous start to the year already, and Marcelo Meyer, you know, the thing with Boston is they had so many top prospects, and, you know, they gave away Brayden Montgomery and Kyle Teal to go get Garrett Crochet. So, like, that just speaks to how deep they had their farm system at. I think Marcelo Meyer is going to be a stud, but the thing that we've learned with these prospects, no matter how good you are, no matter who you are, you're gonna struggle at some point, especially in your rookie year. Like, there is a learning curve for everybody. The only guy that didn't struggle was Paul Skeens. I mean, he's just generational. But every top prospect is hitting a wall at some point. My boy Wyatt Langford had a lull last year. You got Cam Smith this year. You got Dylan Cruz. You have every single prospect that is going to have a problem. So I don't think I could put all the chips in the Marcelo Meyer basket just yet. It's going to take some time for him to get used to this MLB pitching and rigorous schedule. So I think at some point, Marcelo Meyer is going to become the guy, but I would still not be putting all my eggs in that basket. You know, I really like Rafael Devers. I know there's been a lot of problems there, but I still think he can put together a pretty good season. And, you know, maybe that's going to be somewhere else if Boston ultimately ever decides to move on.
I was just saying, is he going to get traded at some point if Boston doesn't turn this thing? I mean, they're 500. They're not dead, but not looking great right now.
Yeah, I mean, this next month's going to be big. But I think if Boston is anywhere near 500, they're going to go for it. I mean, you don't make a move and go trade for Garrett Crochet if you don't plan on going for it this year. I think not just what you gave up, because you gave up a lot. Montgomery and Teal are legit studs, and their time is around the corner. But you don't go give those guys up and get a guy like Garrett Crochet if you're not ready to compete now. And Rafael Devers, assuming, you know, he decides he really wants to play and give it his all, gives you the best chance to win. I think ultimately Boston is going to turn it around. I have them making a deep run this year. It just, you know, sometimes you just got to float around 500 until the second half, and then you go on a little run, and before you know it, that little scuffle he had in the early season is a distant memory.
Yeah, I think you're right, John. Very few players come up and not struggle. Maybe Bobby Witt is one, and maybe the Orioles are noticing that, or have noticed that, even though Rutschman, you know, may turn out to be a terrific player.
Yeah, Baltimore, it's been a little strange this year. They've had like a bad aura about them since before opening day. I really liked Baltimore last year. I know a lot of people did, but I thought with getting Corbin Burns, they were going to be a big player to win, if not at least make the World Series. And they have an unceremonious exit, and, you know, you lose Corbin Burns, which, okay, I guess, you know, their front office didn't want to bring him back. But then you don't go get anybody. Like, you have no pitching. I mean, Shigano's been okay, and you're getting some decent performances here and there, but you don't have a legitimate ace. And it just doesn't make sense with the offense and the prospects you have, and you're in win-now mode before any of these young cats get these contracts. It made no sense, and I felt like there was just this, like, bad mentality since the start of the year, and it's kind of carried over and infected everybody else. I mean, Adley Rutschman, is super talented, but there's some holes in his game he needs to get ironed out. And, you know, it's funny because when he was coming up and, like, right before he made his debut, I was wondering this to myself. Is he the next Buster Posey or is he the next Matt Wieters, a catcher and player Oriole fans know a lot about? So, you know, Adley Rutschman won the Golden Spikes at Oregon State as part of, like, one of the more dominant teams in the last 20 years with the Beavers during that season. I think Rutschman's going to be fine, but, you know, because some of his underlying metrics do support the fact that his stat line is lying a little bit. But I feel like overall it's going to turn around for him. He's so talented and switch hitting catcher. Like, he's got pop. He's got a good hit tool overall. And I think it's going to turn for him. But this is baseball, man. Sometimes guys need 3 years before they really hit their breakout. I mean, look at Tarik Skubal. He didn't break out until, what, his third year?
Yeah, he's good. He's very good. Last one for me, John. The Chicago Cubs right now hitting the cover off the baseball. I mean, leading in a ton of offensive categories. Suzuki, 50 RBIs. PCA, 49. They're 1-2 right now in baseball. Best team with two outs, runners in scoring position. If you got a Cub on your team, fantasy team, you're pretty darn happy right now. Is this going to continue?
I got to be honest. I mean, you know, I think at some point they're going to regress to the mean. But overall, Kyle Tucker, that acquisition was huge. And I was very critical because they gave up Cam Smith to go get him, especially for the sheer fact that I didn't think the Cubs were one pick away, nor did I think that the Cubs were going to sign Tucker to a $400 or $500 million contract. But you can't argue with the kind of player he is. And since day one, when he came over, he set the tone. He's like, listen, this is my team now. Daddy's home. And you know what? I'm going to will us to victory. And he's done nothing but that. I mean, he's legit been one of the five or six best players in baseball this year. And because he's been doing this consistently since opening day, it's permeated throughout the rest of the lineup. I mean, Pete Crow Armstrong has always had a lot of talent, and last year he showed flashes of it, but it really wasn't a successful season. But this year he's come in with a different mentality, and I think he's picking up some of this infectious energy from Kyle Tucker. And ultimately, I think this can continue. I think if you have a Cub on your fantasy team, this offense can continue to roll, and the next guy to get going is Matt Shaw. And once Matt Shaw gets going, you're going to have four or five legitimate fantasy either studs or quality players that's going to be able to help continuously give you a lot of points and just be reliable and steady for you. I think Chicago, especially playing in NL Central that is totally up for grabs, is looking good for 2025. The question is, for real baseball, can their pitching sustain? What does their pitching look like in October? My boy Cade Horton got the call. He's looked pretty good. He had a fantastic outing against Colorado last night. Cade Horton is a big incubator guy for me. Call him Cade Horton, here's a who. But other than that, you know, you got Imanaga, and if and when he comes back, Justin Steele. But otherwise, it's very up in the air. So I think in real life, Chicago could ultimately win the division, but I don't know if they have enough pitching to make that run in the NL playoff picture.
All right. Hey, John, appreciate it, and we will talk again in a couple of weeks. Enjoy the college regionals.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
All right. We will take a break, come back, and wrap things up for you after this.
We're everyday people doing good in our community. Our kindness runs deep, just like our blood. The same blood we donate to help treat sickle cell disease, which hits Black people the hardest. Good news is, 1 in 3 Black blood donors is a match for someone struggling with sickle cell disease. Stand tall in the eyes of your community. Donate today because our blood saves lives. Visit redcrossblood.org/ourblood to make your donation.
This Memorial Day, turn up the heat with the Home Depot. Find the perfect grill and patio set to keep the cookouts coming all season long. Grill up a feast with the Next Grill 4-Burner Gas Grill, only $229. And complete your space with the stylish Glen Ridge Falls 7-Piece Dining Set, now on special buy for just $499 with free delivery. Take your Memorial Day cookout to the next level all summer long with the Home Depot. See homedepot.com/delivery for more details.
Back with you, 3:55 to wrap things up here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. And stay tuned, Spencer on Sports coming your way next. That is from 4 until 6. Cubs complete their series against the Colorado Rockies coming up this evening. 319-366-1600. Thank you for the picture, Nebraska Jason, with his wife, he, and Mike Ditka. Said he looked for that over the weekend and found it and sent it to us. So thank you.
That was last week's topic.
That was last week's topic. We've got another one for tomorrow. I know it's not Friday, but we are off Friday due to Cubs baseball. So we're going to have a Thursday topic this week. And this one struck me like a lightning. I don't know. Mm. I got up this morning getting ready. All of a sudden, hey, that'd be a good one. We're going to talk about best sports sidekicks coming up tomorrow. Or not the main guy, but the other guy. Who are the best other guys, past and present, in sports? We're going to talk about that coming up tomorrow.
Should be fun. Since you said best, it's probably not Dukes and UNASH, but something along those lines, I'm sure. Our listeners will have plenty.
Yeah, so we're going to have fun with that coming up tomorrow. You know, examples. I don't want to give too many away. Isaac, you got an example?
Well, the most obvious would be Pippen.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the most, that's one everyone goes to when you
think of sidekicks. Yeah. That's what we're going for. Yes, Scottie Pippen may be the most famous. Hey, it got him on the all-NBA anniversary team a couple different times, and things didn't go real quite as well when number 23 wasn't there feeding him the ball and taking double teams. So, but, you know, that's a whole different discussion. But we're going to talk about famous sidekicks in sports coming up tomorrow. Have a good night.
Could be owners and GMs for the Chicago White Sox.
Could be.
Yeah, have a good one, Scott.
Spencer on Sports coming your way next here on KGYM.
Surprise! Your expenses this month were way higher than you expected! Also, you forgot to renew.